This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Connor, may I just clarify one thing before you go?
I think I'm real clear because I read your motion over and over and over. So if I misstate it, forgive me. Go ahead, sir.
I just want it's the order for us to replead and disclose the young lady's names.
Within 2 days.
Okay, that's why I just want to be clear. I want to make sure I did what you wanted me to.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for always being gracious. Every time you're in my court, you and Attorney Harden, you need to give lessons on graciousness. You all are phenomenal, and it's always a pleasure to have you in court, and I look forward to litigating this matter. Again, you all are excused. Have a wonderful rest of the day and a fabulous weekend. Thank you.
You as well. Bye-bye.
All right, that was the ruling by Judge Davis. One of Deshaun Watson's accusers' name has to be given to Rusty Harden. We're awaiting the trial downtown, and we should know.
Hearing
downtown. Yeah, not trial. Hearing. And we should know about the other 12 very, very shortly. We'll take you downtown to the courtroom. We got boots on the ground as well. Brandon Scott is there. Your reaction to what we've heard so far, John? From Rusty Harden, from Tony Busby, and from Judge Davis. We're going to hear from Judge Collier very shortly on this matter.
First of all, absolutely riveting stuff. It's not anything that really surprised me and probably didn't surprise a lot of people, just because this is very, very clear, the Texas law. You know, just people, attorneys and legal experts I've spoken with expected that. We'll see if it's the same when 12 names are involved. And that's what's going to be so interesting here in the next a couple of moments. It was nice to hear Mike Meltzer sort of, you know, back up my point in terms of interpreting this thing. You know, that it's really it's about Deshaun Watson and fair play, absolutely. But it really the intent behind it is when the threat and the legal ruling comes out for these. Well, it'll be 13 today and probably more later. 13 women. Yeah, you're not going to be anonymous anymore. That is what Rusty really wants, because two things might happen. Number one, some of these women say, I don't want the heat. I don't care about the money. I don't want to have death threats and vile things spoken to me, as has happened with the other two who are public. So some of them might go away. And it sort of enhances leverage from Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden for a better settlement. So I think those are important strategies behind these things.
Well, I think on the other side, and I think you heard the judge say as much, Deshaun Watson's getting just as much heat on social media.
That's what I said. Good for the goose is good for the gander.
As the women. So, the social media comments and stuff, it's always a bad thing when you go on social media for stuff. So I think the other point is that, yes, I don't think this is necessarily about embarrassing the women with Rusty Harden. I think it's more about, from
leverage.
His perspective,
yeah.
Leverage, and, you know, if we're going to look out for them, that's fair, but we also got to look out for Deshaun Watson, and we can't be throwing all this stuff out there with the press conferences and all that type of stuff. So that's what they're trying to get. Brandon Scott is out there. We'll hear from the judge as well as from Rusty Harden and from Tony Busby very, very shortly right here on Sports Radio 610. But I would say this is probably the beginning, I think, of an attempt by Rusty Harden to probably at least get this to be played out more so in court.
Yes.
Instead of in the public. I don't think we're going to see another Tony Busby press conference. I don't think we're going to see, as many Instagram posts. I think at the very least, kind of weather the storm and kind of tone that down a little bit. Let's go down to the courtroom right now. This is Judge Collier. This is Tony Busby. This is Rusty Harden live right here downtown on Sports Radio 610.
Matter, it was at 7:45 this morning, and that was already decided. So there will be 12 at 11 a.m. It's 11:04 right now. I put the link in the chat for you for the 113th District Court.
You're listening to the downtown court case, or not case, hearing between Deshaun Watson and his legal team, Rusty Harden and Tony Busby, right here on Sports Radio 610. It appears they're having a little bit of Zoom issues. We'll go out there very shortly as soon as we get reconnected.
Yes, and there's another part that I was going to add. I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, the way it's working for both sides and strategies behind. And Rusty really wants to play it out more in the court. This also might just slow down the number of public statements and press conferences and tweets and Instagram messages from both sides. Rusty Harden's having a press conference this afternoon.
2 o'clock.
After these proceedings.
2 o'clock at the Hilton Americas.
But that's understandable, because anytime a proceeding like this happens, you want to hear from both sides. I would expect Tony Busby will do the same thing.
And we'll go back out there in just a sec. Again, Mike Meltzer anticipates this being kind of the same as what we heard earlier from Judge Davis, the ruling in which it was she favored with Rusty Harden and with his motion to eliminate the anonymity of one of the accusers.
And for that one accuser, over the next 2 days, because that's when there's a 2-day deadline for releasing that to Rusty Harden. And by the way, it'll be public shortly thereafter. It just will. I think it's a public filing. And certainly it'll get out there as well. So she has 2 days, as these 12 women in this proceeding right now are going to have to decide, is it something I feel that strongly about and I still want to put my name in on it and proceed?
So at the 113th District Court, you have Rusty Harden, you have Tony Busby, and you have Judge Collier laying out the cases. Rusty Harden, by the way, masked up in a nice blue suit. Tony Busby, he's got the specs on, looking all buttoned up, got
looking
the red tie,
lawyer-y.
And he's got the black suit on. So that's what we'll go. We'll get out there as soon as we can. Again, it's the effing technology that comes with all of this. I got to think of all the stuff that Deshaun Watson has had to observe during this whole process. I would say it's not necessarily calming. It's obviously a stressful process, something that he's not used to, but it's got to be the most probably relaxing observations and viewing that Deshaun Watson has had since this whole thing started playing out.
Well, it's a win. It's an expected win. It's kind of a no-brainer win in terms of Texas law. But it is a win. You know, we're talking about, you know, the potential settlement going down, or at least being more, a little better settlement for him. We're talking about maybe some of the cases going away. For Deshaun Watson, this is a victory. We'll see again on these next 12, but I would expect it to be the same. Also, the other thing besides a win, it's moving pretty quickly. These were emergency filings. Both judges agreed. So this is moving pretty quickly. That also, Landry, obviously you want it to get over with one way or the other, however it ends up, whether it's a settlement or a court case in the civil courts. And once it's over, he knows more about his future. You know, he's got a better grasp about what he's going to be doing.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson, as we sit right now, we're three weeks away from Nick Cassero making his first pick. I think regardless of what does happen here, Deshaun Watson is probably going to be on the Texans roster. I don't anticipate Deshaun playing for the Houston Texans, but this would be a step in at least trying to not necessarily put this behind him, because it's never going to be completely behind him,
knowing.
But this is the step to do this.
As I just mentioned, he's going to know a lot more about what his future is going to be sooner. So this is a win-win for Deshaun Watson. It was expected, but it's still good news for him.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Judge Collier, I think Mike Meltzer brought up a good point when he was on earlier today. Judge Collier and Judge Davis, obviously different judges, but judges do speak. And the law is the law. So as far as different styles and stuff, obviously attorneys have different styles. We see that with Tony Busby. We see that with Rusty Harden. Judges, yes, they do have different styles. But for the most part, these are judges in the same courtroom. It's the same situation. They deal with these people. You heard Judge Davis praise both Rusty Harden and Tony Busby for their professionalism and the manner in which they lay out their cases.
A little bit starstruck, it
seems. She does seem to respect the fact that, you know, these guys are successful at what they do. I guess real kind of recognize real in this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're talking about two successful attorneys like Tony Busby and like Rusty Harden. We're going to get you out there. You will hear it before the end of the show, what is going on out there. Brandon Scott is actually covering it. We'll get Brandon Scott's perspective on what he is seeing going on, and also Rusty Harden. It's going to be the first press conference for Rusty Harden after all this does wrap up downtown. Rusty Harden going to hold court at the Hilton Americas at 2 o'clock. He's going to have a press conference, have a little Q&A. But 7:45 this morning downtown, it was announced or it was decided on by the judge that one of the accusers in the Deshaun Watson case, her name would be giving to Rusty Harden right now downtown, 12 more. The judge is making the same decision. This time it's Judge Collier and not Judge Davis.
And as I'm sitting here, and I keep saying what a lot of people have been saying, this is pretty, you know, pretty straightforward. This was going to go in Rusty's favor. I'm wondering, obviously, Tony Busby knew that. I'm wondering what his counter is going to be. You know, he's clearly prepped these women. Look, it's probably going to be where your anonymity is going to go away. So I wonder how he's prepped them, if he's going to sort of have his own announcement reveal, hey, and put his feet in the ground. No, these women are so determined to get it done and get justice and whatever, that they're going to weather the storm, or if he's just lost some of those potential cases and he's going to do it, go with a different strategy. Clearly, Rusty knows the same thing. Rusty knows he was going to win this. Deshaun knows he was going to win this. I'm just interested in their competing strategies.
We're connected. We're going to hear the case out there at the 113 District Court very, very shortly. You'll hear from Tony Busby. You'll hear from Rusty Harden. You'll hear the judge's decision next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's get you out there very quickly downtown. It's basically more of the same. We've had some banter back and forth between Rusty Harden and Tony Busby. It's been the same thing. Rusty Harden right now, just like he was at 7:45, he's laying out his case for why anonymity should not exist when it comes to the Deshaun Watson situation. We take you live out there. Rusty Harden making his case. We're going to hear from Busby as well as the judge live right here on Sports Radio 610.
Go back and look at his Facebook and his Instagram and his press conference. During the period of time he's been filing his suits, and I believe the last suit was filed on April the 7th. And that's one of those before you, 19-642. And that's out of Judge Santos' court. And back on March 30th, another one before Judge Santos' court, 18-794. You go back to March 29th, 18-047 out of Judge Davis's court. We go back to March 28th, 18-045 in Judge Rogers's court. And then another, these are all cases that I'm listing there before you. And 16-919 out of Judge Garrison's court. But what's happened here is that he would file these anonymous lawsuits. And when you look at them, just the ones you have before you, they all have their salacious allegations against Mr. Watson. He would announce that he's filed them, or he would announce to the media he was going to. He had 25 Facebook from March 16th to April the 2nd. We count 25 Facebook descriptions of what's going on here in his version of what Mr. Watson is about in these cases. He had 14 Instagram entries. He had two press conferences, one of them this week. In the press conference this week, he actually introduced evidence. that would be evidence in a trial. I'm not sure in his case. And he introduced before the public in the media some selected excerpts of text messages. And yet he put his spin on what those really meant. And we've since seen a post from the woman who sent one of them saying, that's not true. That's not what I meant. But he put controverted evidence in front of it. And then he put it in a Dropbox with a media hook. And we reached out to ask if he would send it to us. And we're still exercising and experiencing the sound of crickets. Nothing. So we have a situation, and I've never experienced this before, where we had to get evidence that an opponent was producing to the public at large, to the media, and the press conference. We had to get it from a member of the media. We had to get that evidence. And we had to get that evidence instead of getting the other part. And our answer date for none of these cases has arrived yet. So for over 2 weeks, we've been met, and our client report has been met by a barrage of all of these attacks in the media. And if the courts had an opportunity not just to read our brief, but to read the response by Mr. Bush, you will see, first of all, Texas law doesn't allow this.
You're listening to Rusty Harden here on Sports Radio 610. He is requesting that the anonymity of 12 of the accusers of Deshaun Watson be removed. He's talked about Tony Busby's antics. He's talking about the presentation of evidence at his press conference. And he's basically saying that this is not fair. And right now he is making his case that it is not legally allowed as well. Live downtown right here on Sports Radio 610.
It has to be, they have to be suing over what they contend was the equivalent of felony activity. That's the only way, the only time in Texas that the anonymity is allowed. And in fact, as recently as 2009, when that was amended to allow a child to file an anonymous plea if they were alleging to be the victim of a sexual assault that rose to the level of a felony. At that time, the proposal was before the legislature to allow adult anonymous filings. And it was rejected, and the legislature did not pass. So the evidence is overwhelming that whether one agrees with the law or not, the black letter, clear cut law in Texas says he can't do what he did in this case. And then, if over the criminal side, as you know, there are circumstances in which a woman can be listed, and she can be listed in terms of, I'm sorry. I got rid of the phone and had it turned off. I can interrupt. But when we went back there and I called Tony, I forgot to turn it back off, and it's over there. Thank you very much, Laura. So in the criminal area, I spent over 15 years as a prosecutor. I hailed and believed in a woman who's reporting to the police a sexual assault, being able to be listed in the indictment anonymously. I tried cases like that all the time, and I believed it was a salutary development because the idea was to encourage, and still is, women to report these types of events that they believe happened, and that they want the wrongdoer punished for. They should be allowed to report it anonymously. I've never disagreed. But when we move over to the civil area, where a private individual decides to seek compensation for what they contend is a wrongdoing, the clause says clearly, you have to declare who you are because the person has a right to know. Over on the criminal side, that's never a problem, because the defendant knows who the woman is. The state provides discovery to them. There is a public trial. There's no question the defendant's going to be able to confront his accuser from the very beginning. That the state never tells a woman over on the criminal, a defendant on the criminal side, an anonymous woman who said you did something wrong and we're prosecuting you for it. Over on the civil side, when one seeks compensation, they run into the open meetings and open courts provisions of the Texas Constitution and the due process requirements that every accused person, be civilly or criminally, has a right to know the name. Mr. Busby has said that a couple of days ago, when I conferred with him, we filed this pleading actually 2 days after we prepared it, because we were waiting to see what the, you know, what the developments were. Or frankly, one of the things we were waiting for was we were watching his press conference on Wednesday. We didn't want to file this before that, because we didn't know what all he was going to say.
Rusty Harden live downtown making his case, talking about the antics of Tony Busby, why they are unlawful, unethical, etc. We're going to hear from Busby shortly, as well as the judge, right here live downtown on Sports Radio 610.
He did this morning. Well, the problem with that was is, in all the federal cases and everything else that ever addressed this subject, he used that anonymity as a way to get his side out, leaving us powerless to answer and leaving us with the following Hobson's choice. Do we go out and try to suggest that 22 women are lying? Do we go out and attack women that we don't even know their identity? Well, of course not. We're not going to do that. But would you use it as a sword like this, the anonymity? Here's what happened to us. When you say for 2 weeks, all of these postings and everything, hide behind anonymity and make these accusations, call our guy a sexual predator in pleadings, in press conferences, and suggest all those things, and then still don't tell his lawyers who they are, you end up in a result like this. So it was too late, is what my point is. Federal courts allow periodically the use of a pseudonym. Some states do by statute. Texas has chosen not to. But even where the federal courts allow you to do it under certain circumstances, the federal cases that have, few federal cases that address this, make one thing very, very clear. If you're going to use a pseudonym to say that you need to hide the identity of the accuser, you can't go out there and use it as a weapon and a means to get an advantage. Because if you do that, you're going to waive it even in the federal court. So even by this, even if one did not follow, and I have great hopes the court will, but even if one didn't follow the black letter law in Texas that we're laying out, the federal cases are made very clear. You can waive that protection and clear it if anybody ever has. I have several things I want to introduce as evidence. We brought a copy of a notebook for Mr. Busby. I didn't realize he wasn't going to be here. I'm going to tender to the court. We'll be able to.
I just
have you seen it?
And just for purposes of the record, because I believe I set this off the record, everyone has the opportunity to appear via Zoom or appear in person, given the COVID concerns. And so although Mr. Busby has elected to appear by Zoom, that's perfectly within the court's procedures.
Well, I wouldn't suggest otherwise. I'm fine with it. I only meant the mechanics of the use. What I'd like to do, Tony, I may address it, Your Honor, or so to you. I'd like to give you what I've marked as Exhibit 1, which is a notebook of all of the, it has an affidavit from attorney at our office as to the legitimacy of what she's gathered. When I found out that Tony, when we got here, Mr. Busby was appearing by Zoom, we had emailed him this notebook this morning. And I represent to you as our compilation of his social media activities about this case.
Thank you.
May I approach you on?
Yeah. Rusty Harden presenting Tony Busby's social media right now to the judge live downtown right here on Sports Radio 610.
I'm not going to suggest that I didn't receive it, but of course I know what I posted on social media. And so I think I know what he's showing you. And I'm okay. The only thing I would suggest is I don't think, and I'll stand corrected if necessary, that a special exceptions hearing is an evidentiary hearing, but that's my only caveat.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
So he's saying that a special exceptions hearing is really not an evidentiary hearing.
I can't argue with you because I don't think there's anything that says that it's not as well.
I think there is case law that says it's not. The court looks at the pleadings and decides whether the special exceptions are valid. That's what the court looks at, not a bunch of exhibits.
I know this is a hybrid proceeding, and so it gets a little taken used to. Mm-hmm. We're going to speak one at a time because the leash is going to get upset with all of us.
So, If I may, Your Honor, I believe Tony may have forgotten, or Mr. Busby, excuse me. Mr. Busby may have forgotten the attached exhibits to his response. I would say that he's already offered evidence, and that's all we're doing here. I think these are matters for the court to take into consideration to reject or ignore as to their relevance. I want to also add another.
Rusty Harden going through the evidence right now on Sports Radio 610. He and Tony Busby, a little back and forth there. Tony Busby is going to get his rebuttal. We'll hear that. We'll let Rusty Harden wrap this up. Maybe he should talk a little closer to the mic, but we're getting the gist of what he is saying. We'll hear Tony Busby's rebuttal next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're going back live downtown. Rusty Harden is wrapping up his case. Tony Busby speaking now live downtown.
Yes, Your Honor. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And thank you for the presentation, Mr. Harden. Your Honor, Mr. Harden and I have worked cooperatively on many different cases. This case, of course, is kind of taking a life of its own. I would point out, with all due respect to my colleague, that Mr. Harden is no stranger to press coverage and is no stranger to using the press to his advantage. One need only look at how he, within 2 days, found 18 massage therapists who allegedly worked on Mr. Watson to come forward, identify themselves, and say all kinds of nice things. And that was reported widely in the press, just as if, just like the demand letter that I sent early in the case, because Ms. Solis, who made herself known just recently, she was terrified. She was the first plaintiff. And when the case was filed, she was roundly criticized. Nobody knew who she was, but they certainly knew they hated her because, lo and behold, she had sued a star quarterback. And Mr. Harden has done a very good job in the press, and I expect he will continue to do so. In fact, he leaked the fact that he was filing these motions after he asked me whether I oppose. And I would like to point this out, that when Mr. Harden texted me and said, I'm filing these motions, do you oppose? I said, I oppose your motion, but I can turn over the names of these women to you. Let's just have a protective order so you don't they don't get their names dragged through the mud for no reason. Now, I'd like to share my screen if I could, Your Honor.
Okay.
I want to show the court, and I do not believe this is an evidentiary hearing. And the only reason we attached these texts is because Mr. Harden's team, in the first instance, attached what he calls evidence. I just want to give the court a tenor of the types of Ashley Solis, the first plaintiff. Obviously, it's a moot point here because this is the first one that was filed and it's in your court and her name is well known. I just want to show you some of the things that people have said to her on her professional page. Here's somebody asking that she gets raped. Here's somebody here calling her names and saying that hopes she gets raped. Here's one that says here to the right, you signed your own death warrant for your life. Here's one that says he's going to kick her butt or put her in a ditch. And she's gotten these on and on. And laying aside, Mr. Harden spent most of his presentation talking about me, which I think is inappropriate because this case is not about me. It's about 22 individuals who are bringing very serious claims in a court of law. I would ask that the court take a moment. I know the court's read the briefing. We worked into the night hours last night to respond because we were given very little time. But I would ask the court to look at footnotes 9 through 11 in our response brief, where courts are attempting to, let me just make this clear. The legislature has failed women who come forward for sexual assault. I'm not surprised by that, but they have failed. And Mr. Harden's right. There's no statute out there that allows this. But many courts in their discretion have allowed this. And I was hoping to come here because, you know, I always believe in the old adage, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. because all through this case, there's been this allegation that these people won't come forward because they're fake. Ashley Solis came forward. Another woman came forward. There's been this allegation that this is about money, even though these women have all sued for the minimal jurisdictional limits of the court. And there's been all these allegations against these women just hurled at them. And then on social media, they're you know, threatened with their own lives. But I wanted to come here because 12 cases currently are in front of your court, and perhaps if we can get the order done, they will all be at least for pretrial in your court. But I was hoping that I could come and say to you, well, you know, this is all a great discussion about what the law should be, what the law is, whether the cases allow it, whether the statutes allow it, what does Rule 47 really mean, and all that. And I was hoping I could just say, you know what, all that is mooted because all 12 women in your court at this moment have agreed to release their names and to amend their petitions. And I was hoping I could get it done, but unfortunately, because the motion was filed and the hearing was set almost immediately. I mean, we had our first one at 7:45 this morning. In fact, an hour after that hearing, that particular individual said, I now feel emboldened. I now feel strong because of Ashley Solis and because of the other woman that has come forward. I feel strong now. I'm willing to, I don't fight that, just amend it and put my name in there. And at this moment, I can tell you that 9 of the 12 women that we've been able to contact and talk to have agreed, you know what, Tony, don't fight it because we feel strong and we're willing to have our names heard now because of Ashley Solis and others that have come forward. But what I can't do is tell you that all 12, because I haven't had enough time to contact them. So as you're pondering this motion and when you decide how you will rule, my only input is it could be that this is a moot issue, but certainly with regard to 9 of the women, it is a moot issue. And I absolutely, and I think I could hear it from Mr. Hardin as well, I believe the Texas legislature has failed women who are brave enough to come forward, because if you only knew, Your Honor, I just showed you a few things. What I've done is on comments on social media, I don't read anything anymore. I just delete it all because people are vicious. They're nasty. And you never know when somebody who's a keyboard warrior, who's very brave behind a keyboard, may decide they're going to be brave out on the street. And so with that, that's my presentation.
Your Honor, if I may, I'm going to send it to you and tell Mr. Busby. We emailed him this exhibit in anticipation of what he was going to say. We just gathered up just some of the things in 5 or 10 minutes that took to find out all the horrible things that supporters of the women have said about Mr. Watson. Because what this shows, if I may, I'm showing that I'm moved to introduce the issue, both the first exhibit I marched and that exhibit too. And I will, the First Amendment is a wonderful thing. Social media tests its limits. And for instance, these are the kind of things that Deshaun Watson was having being sent to him. And they'll get on his own Twitter, they'll get on his own Instagram account. So there's a guy, says he's Alex. He accuses Deshaun about a rapist walking the streets. None of these women allege a rape, none of them. And yet, sexual predator has worked his way through the language of the plaintiffs, and people are picking it up and making them a rapist. Alex also says, reply, rapist son, you got there, mama, talking to the mother of the accused. Replying to, calls him a rapist again. Jake Walker says, F, blank, blank, you're a disgrace to the NFL, a rapist piece of, you know what, we all know what that is. Somebody who calls himself Tony Sopranos. Put Deshaun Watson's creepy ass in the clinker and lose the key. The truth hurts. Some stalwart guy, right or wrong, I don't know. Deshaun the rapist Watson. Who should we ever problem? Hide your wives and daughters. But the second page of this is the same kind of stuff. So I sympathize with anyone that is being called names because she has filed a lawsuit. But I equally sympathize with anybody who's accused by a person who won't tell us who they are until and unless, depending on the court ruling today and what he does about his pleadings voluntarily, even in the absence of a ruling. How How in the world is any human being supposed to survive in our society with that kind of attack, not even knowing who made the allegation? And who knows? Maybe some of these haters in Division II might want to look into, once they hear names and see, whether they made all these decisions based on a single allegation by a lawyer and then appeal. This is horrible stuff on both sides. That's why we have the courthouse. But for 2 weeks, this man has been attacked like that by these carefully orchestrated, leaked plaintiff's allegations, always hiding by anonymity. And I think it's legally wrong, it's morally wrong, and I respectfully ask the court to correct it. And one of the things that I would point out when we look at these things is that his own pleadings will show the advantage of investigating. We've already had a circumstance where a person was misidentified and started innocently receiving from complaints and really mistreatment because people didn't know who the right person was. And finally, Deshaun Watson is not responsible for third-party crazies out there that abuse these women. And we would strongly urge people to quit doing it. It's wrong. I understand why a woman would be hurt and offended by it. But it is equally wrong to subject this man to what's in suit. And that's, we need to get this thing into the courtrooms and get going. And I respectfully ask the court to require under amendments pleadings, whether he hears, whether his clients agree or not, it is time to get on the road with people we know so that we can look into, investigate, and find out what their information is as well as the target. Thank you very much.
Mr. Busby, I did take a look at those footnotes that you referenced, and in particular, the three Texas cases that you referenced for the court. And I just kind of wanted to make sure that I understood your position. In the first one that you referenced, in Rigo, the Court of Appeals there was really looking at whether the trial court abused its discretion with respect to denying the protective order that was shielding past and present sexual activity. And it wasn't looking at the nature of whether the plaintiff moved forward with Rigo. Is that right?
That's right, Your Honor. I think the best case is the, I'm trying to pull this back up here. One point I didn't make, and I know the court knows this, typically the way, and again, I'm not going to suggest to this court as an officer of the court that there's some statute that specifically provides for this. But I'm also going to suggest that there's no statute that specifically prohibits it. What we tried to do in a very fast way, as you know, is show the court that it's commonly in cases like this. I mean, we just resolved one just recently. We file the case as Jane Doe, and then what we do is provide the information of the accuser to the defense counsel, and the case proceeds. And obviously, we know that with the Texas Open Courts provision, that unless it, you know, something's sealed, which is highly unusual, that ultimately these Jane Does will be in open court making their case. But the best case that we could come up with in this short time frame, I think, is, and as an officer of the court, I'm not suggesting that, I mean, I'm just kind of reading to you the tenor from 9 through 11, but the best case I think that is helpful is found in footnote 11. And again, I will say, That was not squarely on point, but there was some language in that case that I think we laid out in the footnote. And again, they even made the point that it wasn't a final appealable order; it was interlocutory anyway. But they did say, which is the primary argument here from Mr. Harden and his team has been, is that this hinders their ability to investigate the case and to fully participate in the defense. In other words, there's a due process concern here, and what I'm suggesting in our briefing and through argument is that if we turn over the names to Mr. Harden, we have some limits as to how those can be used. It does not prevent his team from defending the case. It does not prevent his team from defending Mr. Watson, from investigating the case, but it also protects, and we're not talking about, and again, I, yeah, there are some really wackos out there that say some really, and it's amazing to me that people would say these kind of things, even not under a pseudonym. There's people out there, we have texts that we know exactly who they are that are making these death threats. But there's a big difference between calling people names, which is what Mr. Hardin was talking about, and saying that somebody should be dead, should be put in the ditch, that sort of thing. Those are two very different types of things. And so I would respectfully suggest that, and again, we're going to amend on 9 of these cases, and we may ultimately amend on the others. But I think there's a balancing test here. And I think that balancing test is you have to consider the safety of these plaintiffs, not just their feelings getting hurt because people call them names, but their safety versus the due process concerns of the defendant. And with that, again, I don't think I've appeared in your court, Your Honor. And the number one thing I want you to know is those cases are not the best cases for us. I wish there were better cases, but that's what we could find in a 6-hour time frame.
Right, and I understand that, and I wanted to, because I understood that there may not be a procedure or rule or statutory allowance for what you're requesting, I wanted to make sure that I endeavored in all the cases, the Texas cases that you presented. And so the case that you presented in footnote 11 involved a minor. Is that right?
That's right. And I was relying on although, as you know from the case, they thought they didn't know this person was a minor, but turned out to be a minor. But I was using I think that language in there directly addresses Mr. Hardin's concern about the case, and that's why it was cited.
I understand. I appreciate the arguments that were presented by both sides. Mr. Busby, if you would like to give me the clause numbers, and present that to the court of the 9 that you would like, because that issue is moot, if it needs agreeing on the record to amend the petition, would that be correct? Is that your position, Mr. Hardin?
Yes, if he's going to, did I understand him to say he had 9 that he was agreeing to amend?
That's right.
I understood that.
Right, so then we're left with 3, and it may be, for purposes of the record, if you have it, go ahead and do it so that we can then move on to the rule for the outstanding 3.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask, I think my colleague Cornelia is on the line and she has those cause numbers, so we can make it very clear for the record.
Thank you.
Would you like me to provide them now, Your Honor?
Landry Locker, right. John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you live downtown, awaiting the judge's ruling right here on Sports Radio 610. Right now, they are presenting past cases that they feel add to their case, they being Tony Busby and the prosecution.
424, no agreement. Cause number 2021-18074, no agreement. And cause number 2021-18794, no agreement. The remaining 9 have given us consent to agree to amending their petition. I would ask for if you could give me 5 days to get that done, and we'll do it.
Your Honor, we asked in our motion for 2. I don't know why he needs 5 to tell us who his people are.
Well, let's say Wednesday. I just want to make today's Friday, and I get 2 business. I guess Wednesday would be 2 days, right?
Okay. So the agreement for those are on the record, and as such, those are moved, and the court's not going to rule on that. For cause numbers 2021-16424, 2021-18074, and 2021-18794, the court grants the special exceptions. Is there anything else?
No, Your Honor, I don't think so.
All right, that's Tony Busby's case. So Tony Busby wants 5 days to present the names. The original ruling was 2 days. So we'll hear the judge's ruling in the noon hour. We'll also keep you up to date on everything else going on downtown. Keep it locked. In the Loop continues next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.